Hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you on this beautiful day as I'm filming this afternoon. It is an absolutely beautiful day here, and I trust that it is for you as well. I'm so thankful for this day, for our opportunity to be together like this, and the fact that our God wants us to know Him. He wants us to grow in relationship with Him. And I pray that you are experiencing that in your life and that our times together help you with that. I thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. I look forward to them each week, and I trust that you do as well. And as we open God's Word, and we'll be in Psalm 56 today, as we open God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to open our hearts so that we can see and hear from Him today and grow in His grace. Father, thank you for the day that you have given to us. And, O Lord God, the fact that you want us to know you. Father, thank you for giving us your Word. Thank you for your Spirit to interpret the Word. Father, thank you that you desire to speak to us through it for us to know you personally. Lord, help us to grow in you. Lord, draw us closer to you through this time today. Help us to trust you more. Lord, to love you more. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When have you ever been in a situation that went from bad to worse? I mean, the situation was already bad, but then something happened and it made it even worse. It was already bad, but it became horrible. As we open God's Word to Psalm 56, that's exactly where David is. This again is written when David was being hunted down by Saul because of Saul's jealousy of David, because God had made it very clear that God was going to replace Saul with David because of Saul's disobedience. And so Saul is hunting David. David was on the run, weary and worn down from all of that, as you can well imagine. And so then David tried to handle the situation on his own. He tried to solve the problem on his own. If you go and you read 1 Samuel chapter 21, you find out that David went to Gath and went to the king of Gath seeking protection. Now, the significance of that is that Gath, and obviously the king of Gath, that was one of the places of the Philistines. David actually went to Israel's arch enemies, if you will, trying to find security, almost as if he was changing sides, though in his heart he never really did. But it was as if he was changing sides, almost like being a Benedict Arnold, if you will. And so David went from a bad situation, he made it worse. And you can imagine, although the king of Gath was very favorable toward David, you can imagine what the other Philistines thought. They thought, what is David doing here? This one who has been, you know, the most effective general that Israel has in fighting against us, the one who they say has killed his tens of thousands of us. What is he doing here? And they began to view David suspiciously, and David's life was very much in danger. And so look with me at this psalm as we read through all of it, including the superscription that inspired writing above the psalm. Notice what it says there, for the choir director, according to Jonath Elirehikim. What that means is the silent dove far off, and you can almost hear the sadness. You know, you think about a dove far off, and you think about its very sad, mournful cry, if you will. That's the mood that is here. But then notice it's a mictum of David. That means it is permanent. When the Philistines seized him at Gath. And then you begin to see what the Holy Spirit inspired David to write about this episode. Look with me. It's only 13 verses long, and we'll go ahead and read through all 13 verses. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, in whose words I praise, in whose word I praise. In God I put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger, put down the peoples, O God. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. And you, as you look at this psalm, you see that this is no small matter. It's truly a matter of life and death. Again, you think about what David wrote in verses 1 and 2. Be gracious to me, O God, for man is trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for there are many who fight proudly against me. And then again, verses 5 and 6. All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps as they have waited to take my life. Again, you think about that. This is no small inconvenience. This is truly a matter of life and death. Here is David on the run from Saul, his life in jeopardy there. So he runs to Gath thinking he's going to make the situation better. And he's actually made the situation, he's in more danger in Gath than he was ever being in the wilderness on the run from Saul. He had gone from bad to worse, yes, of his own making to be sure. But how many times have we made our own situations worse? And as we talk about being in a situation that's going from bad to worse, it may be that's exactly where you are today. It may be that you've been in a situation that's been hard, that's been difficult, and all of a sudden it's gone to a whole nother level. And it may be that you're responsible for making it even worse. You may have thought that you were going to solve the problem, or at least handle it, minimize it, be able to manage it in some way, but your best efforts have simply only made it worse. That's exactly where David is. What do we do in those times? Whether it's our fault or not, when things go from bad to worse, what do we do? Well, look what we see, some key thoughts as we look at this psalm, some key lessons for our life. Number one, choose to trust. In the middle of all this, you think about what David said in verses 3 and 4. Beginning, of course, in verse 3, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. You think about what David's saying there, a deliberate choice. You know, every problem, every situation, every circumstance in our life really comes down, no matter how complicated it may seem to be, really comes down to one question. Will I trust God or not? Will I trust God with what he does with the situation and through the situation? With the circumstances and with me. I'm sure we all know Romans 8:28 very well. For God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, those called according to his purpose. And you think about what we read as we go into verse 29 of Romans 8. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. You think about what David's doing here. David is making the conscious decision to trust. And understand, we talk about trust as not just something, a passive emotion, if you will. Oh, everything's going to work out okay. But genuine trust is seen in obedience. If we're in this situation, it comes down to one decision, you know, one issue. Am I going to trust God or not? And if the answer to that is yes, the reality of that answer will be seen in our conduct, in the way in which we, in our obedience, in how we act, what we do. Obedience is always seen. Obedience, faith is always seen in obedience. Trust is always seen in obedience. You think about what we read in verse 4. In God, whose word I praise, in God I put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? David's talking about his very life is going to be directed by his trust in God. You and I, we need to make the decision when we're facing a situation that's gone from bad to worse, that we are in fact going to trust God, and that trust is going to be seen in fact in obedience unto his word. Real trust is always seen in obedience. You think about Hebrews 11, We sometimes refer to it as the Hall of Fame of Faith. You think about all those characters that are listed there by faith, and you think about the pattern by faith, so-and-so, whoever the character was at that particular point in the chapter, did such-and-such. We have a choice. Will we trust God or not? And if the answer is yes, we do, it will be seen in our obedience. We need to choose to trust. But then secondly, we need to remember God's righteousness. The fact that God is by his very nature a God of righteousness, and he acts on righteousness. His righteousness motivates him to act. God intervenes because he is a righteous God. You think about what we see in verse 7. Because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger, put down the peoples, O God. He is trusting. He is relying upon. He's praying for God to intervene and work and move according to his righteousness. And you think about how that applies to David's situation. Saul wants to kill David. David has been betrayed many times. And now he's gone to, he's gone to Gath. Well, the Philistines are in fact the arch enemies of God's people at this particular time. They have hurt, they have killed, they have oppressed God's people, and now they're wanting to do it to David. And David is in fact trusting God's righteousness. He's remembering that God will in fact do what is right. And he'll do it that what God does, when he does, how he does it, what measure he does it in, is always dictated by his righteousness. And David is going to trust God's righteousness. This is why he was able to say, if we drop down to verses 9 through 11, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, and the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? He knows that God is a righteous God. We need to trust God's righteousness. And this is especially true if the issue we're dealing with is a matter of being wronged in some way. You think about what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write over in Romans chapter 12 and verses 17 through 21. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We need to trust God's righteousness. But then notice what else we see from David. We need to rest in God's love. Look again at verse 8. You have taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? You think about that. You have taken account of my wanderings. Child of God, you are never out of God's sight. You're never off his mind. You're never out of his heart. He knows exactly where you are this very moment. No matter how deep the problem may be, no matter how alone or isolated you may feel, you are not alone. God sees you. God is fully well aware of where you are. Yes, geographically, where we physically are. But he's also aware of where you are emotionally and spiritually as you deal with the situation. He is fully well aware of it. And he cares very deeply, more than you can imagine. Again, you think again that verse, put my tears in your bottle, are they not in your book? That's a custom that they had, is that they would catch their tears, especially, the death of a loved one. They would capture their tears and then lay the, usually in animal skins. They didn't have bottles as much as we do now. But in animal skins, and then put those skins on the grave to show their love for that loved one who had departed. And what David is saying here, God, catch all my tears and remember them. We need to remember and rest in God's wonderful love for us. God, in fact, cares for us more than we can imagine. He sees where we are, and he cares very deeply about us. We can rest in his love. But then notice what else? we need to render thanksgiving. Look at verses 12 through 13. Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I'll render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. We need to give thanks to God. Certainly, obviously, when God solves the situation, which we all, you know, is what when we would think we'd give thanks, and unfortunately many times we won't stop and do it then. But did you notice this even in the midst of the situation? For God's faithfulness, for God's provision, for God's presence and His love. You know, we ought to give thanks to God even as He sustains us through a trial, through a difficult situation. I was listening to someone the other day who's going through a very difficult situation. And they said, you know, well, you know, obviously they're burdened and they're worried and they're praying about it and seeking God. At the same time, they were thankful because they had never so experienced God's love and closeness and faithfulness as they had in the midst of the mess. And they expressed that, how we need to as well. We need to give thanks unto our Lord. Yes, certainly. Deliberately, when the situation's over, is a praise and a testimony unto Him. But also within it, for His faithfulness, for His goodness, and many times that's a wonderful testimony. But we need to give thanks unto our Lord for the way in which He has carried us and is sustaining us and showering us with His love. You know, as we look at this psalm, it may be that it's more than theoretical for you. You may be in a very difficult situation, and it could have gotten worse. And you may be the cause of why it has gotten worse, just as David's was. We've all done that. Choose to trust. Remember God's righteousness. Rest in God's love. And render thanksgiving. And He will sustain you. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day, that You are a God worthy of our trust, who loves us beyond our comprehension, in whom we can rest in all times. Father, for those who are in a very difficult situation today, maybe even have made it worse, O Lord God, let them know, as David did, Your wonderful, sustaining love and grace. Be near them, lift them. Father, I pray that You'll wonderfully intervene, guide them through, meet their needs. Father, solve a problem in a wonderful way that glorifies Your name. But Father, even before that, even in this very moment, lift them up, carry them, let them know Your love and Your nearness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day, for however much of the day is left for you, that you will know the Lord's peace and closeness and love, that you'll be able to rest in Him. And even if you're in a bad situation, even if one that you have made worse yourself, that you can rest in His wonderful love and that you can have His joy even in the midst of the problem.